Ooh, the serious music.
This is the serious music. Yes.
Wendy, we've gotten so many requests for that song. Oh, listen to it.
All right, we got to record something. Beautiful. Play it for when Eric Zorn's back next week.
It's beautiful. That's us in happier times.
Wow.
Kristen McQuarrie joins us right now. I know.
I didn't know you wanted to lose listeners so quickly.
That's our goal.
Anymore.
Right. That's our goal. Kristen, of course, fine columnist for the Chicago Tribune, filling in for Eric Zorn today. Great to see you. Thank you very much for being here.
Me. Great to be
here. I know you wanted to talk about Illinois politics, but there's nothing ever to discuss when it comes to Illinois politics, is there?
I know. I was really going to have to scrounge around.
We'll find something. How about the Mike Madigan situation? Might that come up?
It could.
Yeah.
It probably will come up in drips, for the next maybe 4 to 5 years. Probably.
I have to think he's not used to being treated the way he's been treated the last couple of weeks or months. Right?
In terms of the media?
In terms of...
Of anyone.
You got a mayor now who's just not sure she's in on him, you know?
For the first time.
It's been a long... Yeah. I don't think it's ever happened.
Yeah, no.
Where a mayor has questioned his authority.
Right. Well, now lots of people have questions about Madigan because, again, you were saying in the earlier segment that we would speak more slowly.
Yes.
And I am going to choose my words very carefully that I don't implicate someone.
Suddenly her property taxes go up.
Right.
Exactly.
Thanks for speaking.
Accused of no wrongdoing, of course, but three people close to the speaker have had their homes raided by the feds. And it looks like now it was a coordinated effort. This was back in May, but people just are sort of found out about it. The Tribune and other outlets reporting on it. So, again, just... You know, they just got permission for a search warrant.
Yeah.
These three individuals have not been charged also with any wrongdoing. But it looks like that circle around him is coming under greater scrutiny than I've ever seen in 25 years of covering politics.
Where do you think this will end? Where do you think it'll end up?
You know, it could end up nowhere, honestly. I mean, there are searches or people who are sort of under a cloud of federal scrutiny for years sometimes and nothing comes of it.
Yeah.
The fact that they're looking and that they went into the homes of these three individuals, it's been reported that they're looking at connections between ComEd, big utility, very powerful figure in Springfield, and perhaps an overlap of favors to further ComEd's legislative agenda. So once you go into that territory of, you know, beyond just political horse trading into personal benefit, then you start getting into territory that is illegal. And we've seen this with George Ryan. That was ultimately what sent him to prison, was that overlap of your state role with your private life.
Mm-hmm.
Same with Blagojevich, sort of trying to personally benefit off of a state function. Again, no wrongdoing yet on behalf of these individuals, but ComEd has acknowledged that it too received a subpoena.
So what would you think is the impetus suddenly of some of these sacred cows in Illinois politics? Edward Burke suddenly touched upon here with federal charges, and now someone like at least a cloud around Madigan in some way, as you put it. But where do you think this impetus came from all of a sudden to go after these people that for so many years had been seemingly untouchable?
I mean, I would suggest that part of it is probably that we have a new U.S. attorney. So John Lausch was a Trump appointee who was selected about a year and a half ago. Some of these investigations, I think, were already underway. I mean, if you look at the fact that you had this alderman, Danny Solis, who was wearing a wire for a couple of years, that is something that had to start before the new U.S. attorney. But I've just seen him, since he was put in place, really ramp up a lot of these corruption type cases. He's gone after gun traffickers. He's gone after sex traffickers. He's gone after a lot more corruption, Medicaid fraud. I mean, things that you just didn't usually see out of the U.S. Attorney's Office. So I would probably attribute it to just new leadership there.
In all of our lifetimes and beyond, Chicago politics is done in what they call the Chicago way. Is that going to come to an end? Is the corruption that's been Chicago politics for generations, are we going to stop seeing that? Is that possible?
You know, I would like to say yes, because as I was saying earlier, this is just, you would think that these elected officials have learned by now that the Chicago way is illegal. You can't steer business to your law firm on the side and then threaten to hold up a building permit on the other side. And that's the accusation facing Alderman Ed Burke. But they've watched their fellow comrades go to prison right. for this type of activity, and they still can't seem to help themselves. So I can't say that it's ending, but I would say if you are taking down if some of these really high-profile folks, and now we have someone in the mayor's office, Lori Lightfoot, who's a former federal prosecutor, maybe we will finally see sort of a curbing of that practice at mm-hmm. least. And less tolerance for it. I mean, we as right. voters, we're like, oh, what's the big deal?
right.
We're so used to it here. I mean, things happen in Illinois and Chicago that would never happen.
And we think that it's just the way we're so, it's so inbred into not only our government, but to the citizenry accepting it without outrage and continuing to let it perpetrate by always reelecting these same people. If you talk to people from other states and you explain what's going on, they look at you like you're right. crazy, and you say, well, that's the way it's always been, and they're like, the way it's always been, we've never even had that for 2 years,
right.
and if we do have that, we get that person out of office.
Yeah,
here we just give them 15 more terms. It's a weird dichotomy.
I saw on Chicago Tonight one night, I saw this guy explaining how the districts are drawn up here in Chicago, how unfair the districts are drawn up. He said, anywhere else in the country, there's no way in the world they would have allowed it initially, and they certainly would have changed it by now. But in Chicago, there's no hurry to change stuff like that.
There's no hurry. And again, going back, it is on the voters. I mean, we could be reelecting people who are more reform-minded. In terms of the districts, we've been talking about the need for redistricting reform. We've had petitions on the streets. We've had thousands of people getting behind the effort to try to draw the maps more fairly
yes.
so that you don't have one party control, because yeah. that's what happens. You have these districts that are drawn that just favor Democrats getting reelected.
Yeah.
And we elect the legislature could put that on the ballot tomorrow.
Right.
They could allow us to at least vote on it.
So and why aren't they?
Because it's in their self-interest to just
keep it the way it is.
Oh, sure. I mean, we have a super majority now of Democrats in the Illinois House and Senate.
Yeah.
They're going to be drawing the next set of maps.
Yeah.
And Governor Pritzker is probably going to sign them,
yeah.
just like Governor Quinn did last time around.
Yep.
So it's in their interest to get to draw their own home base, basically.
Right.
Like, if you were running for office, Bill,
yeah.
you would want your neighbors, your church. You might want to squiggle down to this area in the next town over because you coached baseball there and people know your name. That's literally how redistricting works.
Yeah.
You get to kind of draw your own boundaries.
The only thing that's interesting now is that for so many decades, we just accepted it. But now we are seeing, and it's been in the Tribune many times, people are leaving the state.
Yeah.
To go live places because the taxes are so oppressive
right.
and other things. So there is actually some kind of revolt. They're not maybe revolting at the election box, but they're saying, I'm going to another state.
Right.
And you're seeing a huge exodus.
Right.
You are. You're seeing, I mean, we're for the fifth year in a row, the only state that continues to not grow, and Chicago is facing the same thing. And the numbers are small. A lot, you can look at it the other way. Oh, you know, 0.4% of the population, but it is a trend. You are seeing, especially on the south side, a lot of middle-class black families have moved. They're gone. They're not coming back. And then you have more affluent voters who can pick up and leave who have moved. And aside from that, if you try to sell your home, your property value has just plummeted over the past 10 years. We're not caught up. So you sort of get hit in two ways. You want to leave, but then you also can't sell your home for what it
should
be.
So even from the the 2008 crash, things
yes.
haven't caught up.
Oh, absolutely not. Right. And the recovery began in 2009, and Illinois still has not caught up. And a lot of that is government dysfunction, high property taxes. You look at some of these homes on the North Shore, even, where you have a property tax bill of $25,000 or $30,000. That's discouraging
yeah.
to try to, if for buyers.
Sure. Makes sense. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then more with Kristen McQuarrie. If you have any questions or comments, you can get us at 312-981-7200. It's Bill Leff. It's Jim Toronto in for Wendy on WGN. Bill Leff, it's Jim Toronto. Jim is sitting in for Wendy.
I'm actually standing, but
oh,
that's
you are
fine.
Standing. Technically, yeah. You're standing. Here's the great thing about when you bring Kristen McQuarrie in to do a segment with you. You know you're going to get some hard-hitting politics like we just had, but you don't know is that you're going to get a discussion about candy.
Yes.
I'm
so
surprised.
She brings the fluff.
A little bit of everything.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
I feel very, very strongly about this news. There's a story, I think it's in today's Tribune, about
yeah.
Butterfinger and how they're renewing their efforts to get us to buy it. And they changed the recipe, I'm thinking.
They changed the recipe for Butterfinger?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But
they're taking the wood out of it?
Right, exactly.
It's like wood
don't
chips.
Don't say
the wood chips
that
are dyed orange.
It's sugary.
Guys.
It's sugary mulch.
It is. That is the best
They used to be
definition.
Called sugar wood bars, remember?
Sugar mulch.
Exactly.
All right. So I'm upset to know that they're changing the recipe. But yes. what you're about to say is very disheartening to me. Go ahead.
I just don't understand people who prefer to eat Butterfingers, and apparently you're one of them. But
I love Butterfingers.
Why? Wow. They get stuck in your teeth. I mean,
that's why I love them, because you can have
like a toothpick or something, or a toothbrush or a chisel comes alongside. In the
I mean, how do you not get them out of the inner crevice?
That's why
molar.
I like them, because you can have one around noon, and at 3 o'clock you move your tongue around and you're like, oh yeah, some Butterfinger. Yeah,
I mean, really, delicious. What is that made of? Because no other candy
it is a
bar,
woody consistency.
It is a woody consistency. But
it is.
But no other candy bar sticks
right
to your teeth like
no.
that.
No, can I tell you which one is way worse than a bit of honey? I haven't had a bit of honey in 12 years. What? I still have one in one of my teeth.
Who eats bit of honeys? Again, gosh, you strike two here.
Yeah.
Next, you're going to be like, when I go to the movies, I prefer raisinettes.
No, that's a snow cap situation.
I love caps. You don't like raisinettes?
I do not like chocolate.
I love raisinettes.
Kristen.
This is all part of my, this is a lifelong campaign of mine.
Yeah.
To elevate and bring back the peanut butter Twix.
Oh, those are delicious.
Well, anything
I'm with
Twix.
You on that.
Twix is about as great.
Yeah, that's a miracle. That's not a candy. That's a miracle.
But I don't love the caramel. There's a peanut butter Twix. It was just like, it was sort of like a Reese's peanut butter cup, but with a cookie.
How long ago was that?
Maybe 20 years.
Yeah, it was a while ago. It was a while ago. But I remember getting it.
And some people say, oh, you can still find them around. But believe me, I'm telling you, I have been on the hunt for years. I can't find them anymore.
No?
And certainly never got them in the minis, like for Halloween.
Oh, right. No.
They were full-size only.
Peanut butter Twix, I'm telling you.
That sounds so good.
Well, you know, there's Abbott and Costello, there's Laurel and Hardy, and then there is chocolate and peanut butter.
Yeah, they go together
well. Is there any better
No, perfect combination.
Nope.
My only knock against the Reese's peanut butter cup, it doesn't weigh 20 pounds. I mean,
really?
When you buy the original with the two little cups,
yes,
it's three bites.
It's not enough.
It's gone in 2 seconds.
Right, it's
and
nowhere
it's,
near
it's
enough.
It's enough to tease you and want a 20-pound.
Are they smaller than they used to be, Jim? You know how they always show the Hershey bars, like in 1950, the Hershey bar took two person. You had to have two people to carry a Hershey bar.
It just seems like you can't. It's too good.
It's nowhere near enough.
And those minis?
Yeah.
Forget about it, because I'll eat the whole bag.
I know. I just had two double chocolate cookies before I walked over here.
Nice.
So I can't just have one sweet thing of anything.
So right. You said a Butterfinger. We were talking about this during the break. So your Butterfinger would be in your top five.
Easily in my top five. Yeah.
Gosh,
I enjoy them.
Really?
And I don't have them anywhere near often enough.
Even though you
enough.
Admit that it is mulch with chocolate on it.
I will admit that the consistency of a Butterfinger is mulchy. But I know it doesn't surprise me. I know what to expect when I get one.
See, when I bite into a candy bar, I love, like, that's why I like a Snickers or a Milky Way.
Mm-hmm.
I love Twix, as you said, but I do like that soft.
Right.
Like, your teeth just melt.
Right.
And with Butterfinger, they break.
They break.
Your
it's kind
teeth
of like
break.
The Heath bar. Do you like the Heath bar, too?
I do enjoy Heath bars.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
See, that's another one of sticky tooth syndrome.
You don't want any more Heath
you
bars?
You fill a cavity with a Heath bar.
The Toffee family.
Right. Yep. I think we're on to something here.
The other day, I was talking about two candy bars that they've stopped making. The Marathon bar, which was a gigantic, a huge, big,
that.
Giant bar. And the Choco Light bar. Do you remember that bar at all?
I do remember chocolate.
Oh, those were so good. They're the opposite. Like with Butterfinger, you're getting very gritty with your chocolate. But the chocolate bar, you could just float it in midair. You could hold one up in midair. It would float to the heavens.
Remember Powerhouse?
Yes.
Powerhouse used to be
that good. Was good.
That was good.
Anything without coconut, I'm okay. I don't want to.
Yeah, I'm not
coconut.
A big, like, never was a Mounds guy.
Mm-mm.
But see, I put Mounds into that Halloween candy category of Butterfinger. That gets shoved to the side.
You
nobody
don't want
wants
any of
your
that?
Nutty, coconutty, woody, and bit of honey.
Yeah,
love bit of honey.
Because basically, wasn't that just like toffee or something? Like, what was that?
Right? Honey flavored toffee.
Yeah, right. On a stick.
But you knew if you had a filling, there's no way your filling was going to survive a bit of honey. Every time I put a bit of honey in my mouth, I would take it out. There would be part of a tooth, part of a filling.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I had a feeling that I maybe either had a cavity or a potential root canal, and I just took one bite of the Butterfinger.
Mm-hmm. Problem
25
solved.
Years later, it's still there.
I know.
I've had no pain. I saved $3,000.
If not more.
85-cent candy bar, $3,000 surgery. Which one do you go with?
All right, we have to close out on something kind of serious.
Okay.
This isn't serious?
I think, well, this is semi-serious. I always think that the Jesse Smollett story at some point will be done.
Just when you
but
thought.
I'm wrong. It's never done.
It's never done.
What has happened recently?
So over the weekend, he filed some court paperwork where he's trying to get the judge in the case reassigned. This is the judge who decided we actually have to have an outside special prosecutor come in and look at the case.
Yeah.
So he's trying to have the judge reassigned. He is actually claiming now that he was framed by the two brothers. So there's like a whole separate case now moving forward regarding that. And as far as a special prosecutor goes, they're even having a hard time finding one because as we discussed earlier, this is Chicago, this is Illinois, everyone's interconnected.
Yeah.
They can't find someone who hasn't given a campaign donation to Kim Fox, worked with her, worked with people who worked with her. It's such an incestuous pool of attorneys who could possibly take this on that now the judge still hasn't decided which special prosecutor doesn't have conflicts and can go look at the case.
Chicago way.
You know what my fear is in this, Kristen? That in the future, it's going to be either very difficult or impossible for young actors to find brothers to beat them up.
That could be a side effect of this case, indeed, yes.
The old days, you could find a dozen guys, you hire them to beat you up, it's
now
over.
Now they're on to you.
Now everyone's on to you, the secret's out.
It's going to go badly.
Well, it's social media.
It's ruined everything. A lot of it's social media.
It's ruined everything. 45, 50 years ago, they didn't have any.
No, I know.
There's no Facebook to tell about anybody.
Come by more often.
Thanks for having
me. So much
me.
Fun to talk
and
to you.
And bring a Butterfinger.
Yeah, bring a Butterfinger for me, would you?
If you can find me a peanut butter Twix, I'll be here.
I know some people.
Keep your eye out. Okay?
I know people in the candy business.
All right. It can't be a 10-year-old Butterfinger.
Oh, you want a modern day one?
Yeah.
Oh, you don't want a vintage one.
I don't want a vintage one.
All right. I'll see what I can do. Coming up, the stories that matter. Thanks, Kristen. Coming up, the stories that matter with Don Kleppen from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on WGN Radio.